Turn to 1 Kings. And I should be reading out of the 8th chapter. And we shall also be going to Romans 4. 1 Kings 8, beginning at verse 54. Romans 4, beginning at verse 19. The Bible reads this morning, "And it was so, that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers." 56 again, "Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There have not failed one word of all his good promise, which is promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Romans 4, 19 through 21. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought this morning: God still keeps his promises. God still keeps his promises. We want to go to heaven. We definitely have to get ourselves together. There comes a time when you cannot do things your way. You have to do it God's way. And you got somewhere to go. And you're going somewhere. And you can point the finger all you want to. But if you end up in hell, it ain't nobody's fault but your own. We are living in a time where you can get a Bible from anywhere. Education is pretty easy to attain. But nonetheless, somebody will teach or read you the word. And when you begin to deal with the word of God, it lets you know that you are not your own. This morning to the Heart to Heart Widows Ministry. Share a few words of this song with you this morning. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and let me stand. I'm tired. I am weak. I am worn through the storm. to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home when my way grows drear. Precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Just take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home when the dark mist appears and the night draweth near, when my life is almost gone, at the risk there I stand. God, my feet, please Jesus, and hold my hand. Just take my hand. Precious Lord, and the Lord will. He will lead you on. If we hold on to God's unchanging hands, God will lead us on. He's precious this morning. You're precious this morning. And I pray the Lord's strength and his power upon you. God is a good God this morning. And he is worthy of all of the praises. Don't nobody know like you how many times you've had to have the Lord to come in and grab you by the hand and let you know, come on, child, it's going to be all right. I am the Lord thy God, and I still keep my promises. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God still keeps his promises. And And God has blessed us, and we ought to be grateful just to be in the house of the Lord one more time. By the grace of God, he's allowed us and made it possible that we could come and assemble ourselves together in this place of worship and give him praise. For the Lord our God is good. It was God who shed his blood and who died and was resurrected from the grave. And as believers, we know that he lives. The songwriter said that God is not dead. He's still alive. And if you are a believer this morning, then God is alive in your very soul. There are times when you may get disgusted. There are times when you're disappointed. There are times when you just can't seem to put your finger on it, but peace just won't come. You're doing all that you know how to do. You're praying. You're reading the word. You're trusting God. But it seems that every time you turn around, if it's not one thing, it's always another. But I count it all joy this morning to just enjoy Jesus with you, my family, along with any guests that we may have this morning. It is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. If there ever was a time that we should take the time to give our minds and our hearts back to God, it's right now. For truly, we need the Lord to strengthen our minds and to give us peace. There are those of us in here this morning that can say that we have a reasonable portion of health and strength. And we truly have something to be thankful for. So much sickness surrounds us, and we realize that we're up today and we could be down today. And if you have a reasonable portion of health and strength, you ought to thank God for it. But let us not forget that when we are weak, he makes us strong. When we are weak, it makes us recognize and acknowledge that we are not of our own. We don't move by our own power. The Bible says, I could not even have my being if it was not for him. So how could I move if the Lord wasn't here? How could I open up my mouth and you be able to hear the sound come out if there wasn't a God somewhere? And I thank God because it's when we are weak, when we're at our weakest moment, and sometimes almost at despair, we realize that God has kept his promise. Every now and then you're reminded through that small, still voice, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Every now and then, even though you may be going through financial troubles and may not have a dime in your pocket, but you can hear the word of God saying, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Watch it, Tom. But we got to understand this morning. We got to understand that when that small, still voice speaks to us, we got to pay attention. We got to listen to what thus said the Lord our God. Last week, we asked the question, what do you do when you're between a rock and a hard place? And there are times that just like the four leprous men that sat at the gate and realized that things were hopeless. If they sat there, they would die. If they went into the city, they would die. If they get caught by the Syrians, they may live or they may die. But while they pondered over the situation, God was already working it out. You could take that and apply it to your life today. Because while you are wondering what to do, many times God is already working it out. You see, what happens is our minds get so crowded with trying to figure out what to do. And then the next thing we know that we're thinking so hard that we're not hearing what God is saying. Because sometimes we got so much going on in our head, we can't hear that small, still voice. Every now and then you got to be still and let God be God. Sometimes you got to be quiet so you can hear what thus said the Lord our God. God loves us, and just like the children of Israel, God made promises. He promised the children of Israel that he would be their God and that he would be there. He freed them from bondage. But what would happen if we were in a situation where we felt like God had left us, if we felt like God wasn't going to do anything else for us? The children of Israel had been blessed by God. They had been delivered out of bondage, and yet they murmured and complained. I'm to understand that what could have took 3 days took 40 years. Because sometimes what happens is that our minds and our hearts, and we're so focused on everything else but God. You see, what happens, we get focused on God when we feel like we're at our lowest point. But what we got to understand is, while you're falling, you ought to call on him on your way down. Lord, catch me before I fall. There are times when you know that something's not right in your body. Not only your body, even the automobile. You know how sometimes it don't sound quite right? And you keep on going hoping it's going to work its way out. You begin to think about how much it costs to get it fixed. It's going to work its way out. But I'm a witness this morning. It won't work its way out. Not all by itself. Somebody got to look into it. So if you got situations in your life or in your body, some of them are not just going to work their way out. You got a clinch here. Don't think that clinch just going to go away. There comes a time you better go see what's going on. We cannot go through life in blindness. It's all right to walk in darkness because we walk by faith, not by sight. But understand that when you walk by faith, that means that you walk as a believer, knowing that I have confidence that God is going to do what he said that he's going to do. From the days of Father Abraham up until King Solomon, God has blessed, delivered, restored, and kept all of his promises. For how many of you know that what the Lord say, he will do? And I wonder this morning how many of us know the importance of keeping promises. If we make them, we ought to keep them. Our children are taught at times to promise to do this or that. And how many of you know that sometimes broken promises hurt? You know how it is when you promise something, then it's expected. The Bible says that every outer word that men should speak, they're going to have to give an account of. The Bible also teaches us in Proverbs that it is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and to break it. And we teach these children back here. We tell them that when you know that you ought not do something, and I done corrected you about that situation, would you promise me you're not going to do it again? And a lot of times, because you know we've been tuned in to say what needs to be said. Better I promise I ain't going to do it no more. Especially when it's beating time. I promise I'd never touch that again. But if you watch them long enough, if you take your eyes off of them and just sort of ease around the corner and look at them, they're right back doing just what they told you I'm not going to do. And there are times that when those broken promises begin to eat at you, you know how it is when you made promises to another, to one to another. Even in your acquaintances, sometimes we promise people, I'll be there for you. If you say, if you need me, call me. That's just like a promise. So now, but if the person calls and you don't respond to the call, you basically told a lie. There's no way around it. So that's why you have to be careful of idle words. You have to be careful not to speak too fast. Because sometimes you have good intent and your heart is in the right place and you want to do something. But there are occasions where even though you have the intent, situations or circumstances can hinder you from being able to follow through. And there are some things that are not according to what you want to do. Some things fall out of place. And you can have any control over it whatsoever. But if you trust God, if you ask God, Lord, help me to hold my tongue. Lord, help me to keep myself focused. You got to constantly pray to God. promises. Promises is a solemn pledge to perform or grant a specific thing. Assurance to do or not to do something. Promise is also an indication of future improvement. I promise you I'm going to do better. We've been promising God that for a long time. And if God was to give us an examination this morning, I wonder how many of us would pass the test. Because we tend to do what we want to do. We go where we want to go. We act like we want to act. But God said, you belong to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. God did not have to offer anything to sinful people. But because of his faithfulness, it urged him to fulfill the promise. We need to be careful when we pledge and vow what we are going to do. Young people got to learn that making promises is an important part of their life. When God promises, he can and will do whatever he says that he'd do. And that's what I come to tell you this morning, mainly, is that God still keeps his promises. As we look here in 1 Kings chapter 8, King Solomon was about to hold a dedication service of the temple. And the Bible reads, if you look in chapter 8, when you go to verse 1, the Bible said, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So the ark of the covenant is being moved by King Solomon. But when we look here in this eighth chapter, what happens is that when the ark of the covenant comes through, it brings Shekinah glory and fills the house with God's power. We ought to have that power in the house this morning. Every now and then, we ought to get so full of the power and the spirit of God to where the whole room looks smoked up. We ought to understand that God has power enough that when his word is preached, when his word is in your hearts, you ought to be able to feel that power. That's the power that will help you overcome the enemy. That's the power that will help you get across those stumbling blocks that are in your way. When you come to verse 12 of the eighth chapter, Solomon begins to preach the message. It's a dedication service. And when we have a dedication service, we got to have devotion and praise and worship. And then there's got to be a word. Is there a word from the Lord? Solomon said, yes, there is a word from the Lord. After he began to preach the message, verse 21 says, and I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Every now and then, you got to be reminded of your blessings. That's what happened with the children of Israel. God had blessed them, but every now and then, because of stubbornness and hard-headedness and impatience, they had to continually be reminded of how God had blessed them. Look what God has done. God has brought you out of bondage. God has brought you to a land that he promised you that would be flowing with milk and honey, and yet you still won't serve him right. Look at us. Look at us. God has blessed us and brought us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. God has given us this beautiful sanctuary. God has given us a free mind, and we live in a free world, and yet what are we doing for God? After he began and finished the sermon, King Solomon realized that in order for us to do anything, Father, in order for me to help the children of Israel, I got to pray. Verses 22, hallelujah, Jesus, all the way to 53. That's a long prayer. You don't want me to read it, do you? I got time. Do you want to hear it or do you want to read it for yourself? Oh, no, y'all don't want to read it. I'm just messing with you. But we are going to read a little bit in a minute. But I do want you to read that because you have to see. Just give me a little bit of it. I'm not going to read all of it. But let me give you a little bit just so you can see how Solomon prayed. We pray our way. Solomon prayed his way. The Bible says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation of Israel, spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all of their heart. who has kept with thy servant David, my father, and thou hast promised him, thou spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore, now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. So that my children take heed to their way, and they walk before me as they have walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain it. How much less this house that I have built? If any man trespass against his neighbor, and oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. After Solomon prayed, he began to pray the benediction. You see, when you began to talk to God and you shut everything else out, you know, sometimes I'm looking at y'all, but I don't see you. Because you have to learn when you're dealing with God. In order to get in the spirit, you got to shut the flesh out. When he got ready for the benediction, he said, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of his praying, all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Look at that picture. The man of God, a very wise man. We know King Solomon be one of the wisest men that have ever been written about, but he always acknowledged God. When it came to God, he was at all. He was like, you are the God of gods. As he stood there, blessed the congregation of Israel with a loud voice saying, blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel. In other words, he's telling the children of Israel, look where God has brought you from. He's given you rest according to all that he promised. He promised you, I'm going to take you out of bondage. I'm going to lead you into a land where you won't have to worry about how you're going to make it. There have not failed one word of all his good promise. That's what we need to get this morning. Is that when God makes a promise, he always keeps his promise. And we can go back to the children of Israel and the way that they fell short on God, but God yet never fell short on one promise that he said that he would do. The Bible says the good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. We got to understand this morning that when Moses began to tell the children of Israel that the Lord is going to deliver you, that the Lord is going to set you free, that the Lord is going to give you a promised land flowing with milk and honey, there were critics in the house. There were those in the midst that didn't believe that God could do what he said that he would do. There were those that went along with the program, but when things began to get rough, they began to complain and murmur and even try other gods. But every now and then you got to reflect back where God says, I am a jealous God. And thou shalt have no other God before me. The Lord our God be with us, and he was with our father. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. See, we got to understand that God promised that he'd never leave us. God promised that he would always be right there. But what about when God makes a promise that you can't see or you can't understand how it's going to come to pass? Every now and then we got to understand that the prosperity of Solomon's reign was a result of God's promise. God had already promised that he was going to be blessed. God had already promised that if you do what I tell you to do,
If you be obedient unto me, the Bible teaches us that if you're righteous, God is going to see you through. The Bible teaches us that if you're wicked, God is going to have patience with you. God is watching over you and looking down upon your life. But we got to understand this morning that as we trust the power of God, we got to serve God and trust him. We got to allow God to do what God does best. No matter how impossible it may sound to you, if God says it, God can do it. If God said that I can heal your body, then God can be a healer. If God said that he'd pick you out of that low down situation that you're in, God can do it. Think about the fact that God promised the man Abraham when he was 100 years old that he would be faithful and he would have an heir and have a child. But Abraham looked at God and he thought that that was somewhat impossible. The Bible tells us for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Abraham, who is the father of us all. We got to understand that against all hope, we got to believe in hope. Because the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Abraham realized that I'm an old man now, Lord. And I don't know what you're talking about I'm going to have a child at my old age. But because you are God, I'm going to take you at your word. I don't care what nobody else has to say. If God said that I can do it, then I know that I can do it. Abraham said, look at my wife. She's over 90 years old. How in the world is she going to conceive and have a child? But the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to the Lord our God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham realized that I serve a mighty God. And with my own mind, I might not be able to see what God is talking about. But if God said that I'm going to have a child, I'm going to believe in the word of God. I want to let somebody know this morning that Abraham was the father of faith, for he believed in the power of God. And I want to let you know this morning that when Sarah began to laugh at the Lord, said, oh Lord, you got to be kidding me. I'm an old woman now, and I cannot conceive in my body. But you don't know what you can do until you trust the power of God. The Bible says with men some things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's why Abraham said out of his mouth, according to thy word, Lord, I'm not going to stagger with unbelief. I'm not going to have doubt in my mind. I know I'm 100 years old, but you give me my power. You are my strength, and you are my savior. I'm going to take you at your word. And if you say I'm going to have a child, I'm going to take and wait on that child. The Bible said that when the child comes, they'd already been given a name. Name that child Isaac. Anybody heard about Isaac? Do you know Isaac is the child of the mighty King of God? I want to tell somebody this morning that God still keeps his promises. What he promised to Abraham and Sarah, he can still do whatever he promised to you. The Lord promised us one day, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. God promised us one day that I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. God promised you that if you hold on to his unchanging hand, that he'd make a way out of no way. God promised this morning that if you would open up your mouth and confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that he had raised you from the dead, then you shall be saved. That's a promise from God. God promised you this morning that he would be your shepherd. And you don't have to want for anything. For God shall supply your every need. I stopped to tell somebody that God still keeps his promises. God promised me that he'd be there in the morning, be there in the noonday, be there in the midnight hour. God promised us this morning that he always has an open ear to our cry. If you cry out to the Lord this morning, say, Lord, I need you to come and see about me. I want to let you know this morning that God will stop by your bedside. God will stop by your house and make everything all right. Anybody got God? Anybody trusting God? There's something about trusting the power of God. I'm glad that God promised me, as long as I'm in his hand, as long as I'm in his hand, no man, no woman can pluck you out. You ought to be glad to be in the hands of the mighty God. God still keeps his promises. God promised me, if I get hungry and I can't find no food, that he is the bread of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. God promised me that if I get thirsty, that he got water, that I never have to thirst no more. Drink ye of that living water. God said this morning that it's time for us to trust in him. The same way he delivered the children of Israel, he delivered many of us. And then he's waiting on some of us to say, Lord, here I am. I need your deliverance. I need you to keep your promise. Sometimes you got to get bold with God. You got to talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. Say, Lord, you said you're going to do it. And I want you to do what you said you're going to do. Those of you that are praying, got situations going on in your life, got things going on in your body. And then you read in the word where God said he's a healer. He healeth all of thine diseases. Then you got to hold God to his word. God, you said if I call you, that you'd hear my humble cry. Well, Lord, come on, see about me. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Anybody been talking to God? You know how sometimes the world and situations try to crowd you in? Try to make you feel like all your hope is gone. But that's a good time. That's a good time to keep on talking to him. That's a good time to have that mindset that I serve a God that is a promise keeper. God promised me that he'd take care of me. God promised me that if I open up my mouth, that he speak for me. God promised me that if I hold out until the end, hallelujah, Jesus, the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but unto he that endureth to the end. God promised if you hold on and hold out, your blessings are going to come. God promised you widows and widowers that when your mate dies, that he still be your God. He said he'd be anything you need him to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many of you know that God still keeps his promise? Hallelujah, Jesus. We are here this morning trying to be more like Christ. So now, why don't we take that mindset? If God keeps his promises, why don't we keep ours? Let us be faithful just like God is faithful. God said, as I'm finished, love ye one another as I have loved you. And if you really love God, you're going to understand sometimes that you're not going to have all of the answers. But don't give up. Just hold on and hold out. I'm a witness this morning that God can do everything he said that he could do. Look at where he's brought us from. We didn't get here by our own accord. We didn't get here because we are so special. But by the grace and mercies of God. we are where we are this morning. God still keeps his promises. Trust him. Trust him. Think about it. If God can take a 100-year-old man, an over 90-year-old woman, give them a brand new baby, what can God do with y'all? We sit around like we so tired. It amazes me. As good as God is, we just won't give him his due. But that's between you and your God. Because I learned to let go and let God. I learned to stop being intimidated about crazy looks, frowns, but just trust God and do what God say do. Because all time belongs to the Lord. All of it belongs to him. And if you think about the reality of how we serve God, and I don't know what you do throughout the week. I don't know. You may be one that daily reads and you stay really close to the Lord. But I do know that in the world system, we cut out God 2 hours, maybe three, and we think we done something. He give us 24 hours every day. And we get bit out of shape if we have to be in church over 2 hours. Something wrong with that picture. Had a man tell me just the other day, planning on coming to church. I want to come on the first Sunday. Can you promise me I'm going to get out at 12:30? Coming to the wrong church. Especially on first Sunday. You can't make no promise about when to cut God's spirit out. Somebody came in here for a blessing. And I've learned through the ministry that you have to tarry and wait on God. Hallelujah, Jesus. As we think on those things, let us do remember that God still keeps his promises.